Happy Friday, everybody. It is Friday, February 4th, 2022. This is the Second Half Podcast. I'm Tom Powell, and as always, if you're listening to this, that means you made it through another week and margaritas are in order. February 4th. Think about it. 2022 is a 12th of the way over with already. Poof, January's gone. Did it seem like January both dragged by and flew by at the same time? I mean, it feels like it dragged by because my wife and I didn't get to take our 10 days and go to Jamaica. But it flew by because it feels like it just started yesterday. But here we are, January gone, February has rolled in. We are now into the coldest part of the year here in the Chicagoland area. We got snow dumped on us over the course of the last 24 hours to the tune of about 11 inches. I had to shovel three different times to make sure the driveway was clear, and I got to go out today because the plow drivers boogered up the end of the street as they tend to do. The end of the driveway, not the end of the street, my apologies. So I still have some more shoveling to do. Now, when I say today, for those of you who are just finding me for the first time and aren't familiar with this podcast, the podcast airs on Friday, but I record it on Thursday. So I'm actually recording this on February 3rd. It's actually 9:20 a.m. on February 3rd. So we got the snow on Wednesday. I'm going to have to finish shoveling today, Thursday, and tomorrow, Friday, when you guys are hearing this. I won't be shoveling shit. Speaking of finding me for the very first time, let's do the housekeeping I do every week for the people that have found the podcast for the first time ever. If you're just now tuning in for the very first time, you don't know anything about me, my name, as I said, is Tom Powell. This is the Second Half Podcast, and a couple of notes that you need to be made aware of are as follows. First, this is an amateur podcast. It's not done in a studio. It's not professionally edited and mixed. You're going to hear background noises. You're going to hear my dogs bark if the UPS guy comes to the door. My kid's in the next room doing e-learning. He may knock on the door and ask a question. Who knows what you might hear? Just roll with it. It's not meant to be a polished, finished product. Okay. Also, if you're finding me for the very first time, chances are you don't know about my website, so let me tell you that address, and that would be oldhippiemedia.com. oldhippiemedia.com, where you're going to find anything you want to know about me, including links on where you can follow me on the various social media sites. Sign up to my Patreon subscription service if you end up liking this podcast. I do bonus podcast content every other Tuesday over there on a subscription basis. Link on where you can buy my first two books. They are entitled A Grateful Life, The Life Story of a Husband, Father, and Taco-Loving Deadhead, and Dearest Renee, Letters from the Coronavirus War of 2020. Both of those are available in paperback and ebook formats. And you can find a link to my merch store, over 300 items to choose from. All of that, once again, is at oldhippiemedia.com. And that's where we're going to stop plugging myself because I don't like to turn these things into a massive commercial for myself. Before we get into both the non-political and political news of the past week, we do the football news during football season. Last week, I went 1-1 in conference championship picks, making me 11-1 in the postseason so far with my picks. I missed the Chiefs-Bengals game last week. I picked the Chiefs to win at home. The Bengals went in and beat them. And I'm good with that. I'm fine with that. Chiefs have been there a couple times in the last few years. Mahomes has a Super Bowl trophy already. The Bengals haven't been in the Super Bowl in 33 years. And if I'm being completely honest with you, the main reason I don't want to see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl this year is so that we don't have to see Patrick Mahomes' annoying-as-fuck girlfriend acting like she's superior to everyone. Every time Pat does something great on the football field, she's dumping champagne on people in the stadiums, shaking her ass, pretending like she's the fucking queen shit of Kansas City. Baby, Pat's the one winning the games, not you. Shut the fuck up. We don't want to see you. Like, ever. You're one of those annoying chicks in school that thought she was hotter than everybody else, thought she was better than everybody else, and you're nothing. You're just taking the right dick. That's all it is. Yeah, I said that. I went that route, and I fucking stand by every last word of it. If you don't know Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend, you need to go look this woman up. She is fucking annoying. Now, this would be the part of the episode where I give you my prediction for the following week's games. But we only have 1 week left to go, and that would be the Super Bowl. And it's not going to be played this weekend, so I won't be giving you my Super Bowl prediction until next Friday's episode. But we do have one brief bit of NFL news that we need to discuss. Former Miami Dolphins coach Brian Flores filed a class action lawsuit against the NFL and its teams this week, accusing them of sham interviews, incentivizing losses, and pressure to improperly recruit players. The league and three of the teams involved, the Dolphins, the Giants, and the Broncos, denied the allegations in short order, leaving two distinct tracks to follow. Now, are they going to, the NFL going to investigate this and take him seriously, or are they just going to flat out deny anything and just kind of brush it to the side? The lawsuit filed in Manhattan federal court said that the hypocrisy was on display based on the chilly treatment Flores received from the Dolphins after he refused to accept a $100,000 a game offer from the club his first season to tank so it could secure top draft picks. Now, that's something that we've always assumed was going on, but this is the first time we've ever had clear allegations and official allegations in the form of a lawsuit. Now, Flores was fired last month after leading the Dolphins to a 24-25 record over 3 years. They went 9-8 in their second straight winning season, but failed to make the playoffs during his tenure. If you know anything about football, you know that the Dolphins were not having winning seasons. 9-8 is not exactly a phenomenal season, but he was on the right track. According to the lawsuit, Dolphins owner Stephen Ross told Flores he would pay him $100,000 for every loss during the coach's first season because he wanted the club to tank so it could get the draft's top pick. The lawsuit alleged that Ross then pressured Flores to recruit a prominent quarterback in violation of the league's tampering rules. When Flores refused, he was cast as the, quote, angry black man, end quote, according to the lawsuit, who was difficult to work with and was derided until he was fired. The lawsuit also cited a message Flores received 3 days before he was scheduled to interview with the New York Giants from New England Patriots coach Bill Belichick, which first told Flores that he was their guy. Belichick texted him and said, "Hey, man, congratulations, you got the job." And Flores goes, "Well, wait a minute, my interview's not until tomorrow, but, I mean, I'm hoping I get the job." Turns out Belichick was trying to text another gentleman who actually did get the job. And what the text messages insinuate is that the New York Giants had already made up their mind to hire the other guy, but were still bringing Flores in for an interview so that they could meet the Rooney Rule requirements. Now, if you don't know what the Rooney Rule is a rule in the NFL that says you have to interview at least one minority head coach. It was put in place because the Pittsburgh Steelers historically refused to interview any minority coaches. Oddly enough, the Pittsburgh Steelers are now the only team in the NFL with a black head coach. Excuse me. Had to wet my whistle there. Flores has interviewed with other teams, and apparently, as he alleges, the situation was the same. These were simply sham interviews so that these teams could meet the Rooney Rule requirement of interviewing one minority head coach. Now, I don't know where any of this is going to go. All I know is that it serves to give the NFL a massive black eye as it heads into its biggest game of the week of the year. Fuck the week of the year. It's Super Bowl, where there's going to be a lot of attention. You have the Rams playing in their home stadium. It's the second time in 2 years that the home team is playing. The Tampa Bay last year, the Rams this year. You have the Bengals, who haven't been in it for 33 years. There's a lot of good storylines. This is the last thing in the world the NFL wants. But if there are teams out there conducting sham interviews just so that they can say that they hired or interviewed, sorry, at least one black head coach, then that's just wrong. And I think the NFL's got a lot of fucking problems on their hands based on the receipts that Flores brought with him in this lawsuit. But as I say every week, we're not going to linger on the NFL because I know a lot of people aren't sports fans. So we're going to get past that for this week. And next week, I will give you my Super Bowl prediction. Let's do a little non-political news before we get into the insanity that is American politics for this week. This past week, we saw the annual tradition of Groundhog's Day. And this year, it did come with a twist because, you know, it's 2022 and, of course, everything's going to come with a twist, right? As you know, the most famous groundhog for Groundhog's Day predictions is Punxsutawney Phil, right? Everybody knows Punxsutawney Phil. But Punxsutawney Phil has cousins all over the country that predict weather in their states on Groundhog Day. And one of the most famous cousins of Punxsutawney Phil is in New Jersey, and he goes by the name of Milltown Mel. Well, Milltown Mel died the day before Groundhog's Day 2022. And I got to be honest with you, that's about as 2022 as you can get. Oh, we're getting ready to have Groundhog's Day? Kill the groundhog. I mean, dude, if 2022 wasn't already a raging shit show, I would say that that would be a really bad omen, right? That's just like rolling with the punches at this point in time. Now, the big question is, did Phil himself see his shadow? Answer, who cares? He's a fucking rodent. We have enough trouble getting people in this country to believe in science. Maybe we should abandon the ancient practice of getting our weather forecast from a fucking rodent who lives in a tree stump. I know I sound like a sour old man there, but Jesus fuck, man. It's just a rodent. He saw his shadow. We're going to have 6 more weeks of winter. He didn't see his shadow. It's going to be an early spring. No, it means nothing. It means nothing. None of this shit's official. Stop it. Although I could use a little spring right now. I really could. I love winter, but right now it's starting to aggravate me to hell and back. And I'm wondering if the cold weather is not aggravating my hip even further. And if that's the case, that is just going to be absolutely unacceptable. Because I want to retire and die in the Chicagoland area here. I don't want to have to move to Arizona in order to get away from a bad hip. I got to call my doctor and get him to replace this fucking hip, man. Got it on. Anyway, there's the Groundhog's Day story as we roll into February. Who the hell knows what else 2022 is going to bring our way. But I know what's not going to come our way, and that's going to be an acceptable Hall of Fame class for the Rock and Roll Hall this year. The 2022 nominees for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame have been revealed, and we're going to briefly go through them and then talk about people who are still being snubbed by the Rock Hall. This year's list of nominees, now these aren't the people that made it in, these are just the nominees. This year's list of nominees include Carly Simon, Pat Benatar, MC5, Lionel Richie, Judas Priest, Fela Kuti, Rage Against the Machine, Kate Bush, A Tribe Called Quest, Dolly Parton, Beck, Duran Duran, Devo, Eminem, New York Dolls, Dionne Warwick, and the Eurythmics. All right, you got that list? So let's go through this real quickly here. Eurythmics, can definitely see it. Dionne Warwick, once again, I don't classify her as rock and roll. If you guys want to change the name of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to the Music Hall of Fame, I'm down with the program. She's a legendary performer. She's not rock and roll. New York Dolls, I mean, okay. Eminem, no, he's rap. He's a legendary performer, but he's fucking rap. Devo, yeah, I can see that. Duran. I mean, yeah. Beck, not a fan, but I can see it. Dolly Parton's country. Doesn't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She just doesn't. A Tribe Called Quest, fucking love them. They don't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Kate Bush, okay. Rage Against the Machine, definitely could see them in. Fela Kuti, honestly, don't even know who the fuck that is. Judas Priest, definitely belongs in. Lionel Richie, I mean, I consider him more pop than rock. And then, of course, the other two, Carly Simon and Pat Benatar, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So the ones that I would vote for out of this year's class, and by the way, fan voting is now available on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's website. I'd vote for Carly Simon, Pat Benatar, Judas Priest for sure, Rage Against the Machine for sure. Probably Duran, definitely Devo, the New York Dolls, and the Eurythmics. But when you hear that list, and you go, okay, well, we must be getting low in the barrel here. There's not a lot of good acts that still have yet to make it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Let me give you some names of people who are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I'm trying to stick with rock and roll here, okay? To a degree. Warren Zevon is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yeah, Warren Zevon. Werewolves of London. Yeah, he is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Bad Company is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You want to talk about true rock and roll? Motley Crue is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Iggy Pop is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Phil Collins is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Alice in Chains has been snubbed. The Runaways. The fucking Runaways. Not only an impactful band when they were together, look at who the Runaways spawned. Who came out of the Runaways? Lita Ford, Joan Jett. Come on. Jethro Tull is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Jan and Dean are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The B-52s are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The Pixies are not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Soundgarden is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Cher is not in the Rock and Roll. Fucking Cher is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Iron Maiden is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And this next one, this last one that I'm going to tell you, really, every fucking year, it pisses me off. Now, you go back up and you look at the list that's going in, right? Judas Priest, Rage Against the Machine, right? Where do you think these people get their influence from? Could it be people like, oh, I don't know, Ozzy fucking Osbourne, who is still not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? This year, we are most likely going to see Eminem get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, while Ozzy Osbourne, Iron Maiden, Soundgarden, the B-52s, Jethro Tull, Alice in Chains, Phil Collins, Iggy Pop, Motley Crue, Bad Company, Warren Zevon are all not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. As far as I'm concerned, until Ozzy Osbourne is put in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, every single Hall of Fame class is a fucking sham. You telling me you're going to go out and you're going to vote for any one of these fucking groups in this year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominee class, and nobody's going to look around and go, but wait a minute, where's Ozzy? It's Ozzy fucking Osbourne. And that, ladies and gentlemen, proves to you that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is not truly about putting the best rock and roll acts in the Hall of Fame. I'm still going to watch the show. I still enjoy good music. But Jesus fucking Christ, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, get your shit together. Next year's class should be Ozzy Osbourne, Iron Maiden, Jan and Dean, the B-52s, Soundgarden, Motley Crue, Iggy Pop, Warren Zevon, Bad Company, Phil Collins, and the Runaways. Throw Jethro Tull in there just for good fucking measure. There you go. I already solved your problem with the 2023 class. You don't even need to open it for voting. Just make those people next year's class. Jesus fucking Christ. In other musical news and sort of political news, you guys are familiar with the TV show, the reality TV show, The Masked Singer on Fox? I got to be honest with you, until this week, I wasn't aware of it. But apparently, there's a show in which somebody is masked and sings and yada, yada, fucking yada, whatever. And the masked singer this week was unmasked, and it turned out to be none other than national traitor Rudy Giuliani himself. There are four judges on this show, and the judges Ken Jeong and Robin Thicke walked off the set after seeing it turned out to be Rudy Giuliani. Judges Nicole Scherzinger and Jenny McCarthy, better known for her anti-vax bullshit, stayed and bantered with Rudy on stage afterwards. Now, this isn't Fox News. This is Fox Entertainment, which are two completely different divisions. But Fox Entertainment better get ready for some fucking backlash. You do not reward a man who was instrumental in attempting to overturn an election and overthrow the United States government with a guest appearance on your reality TV show, you fucking idiots. But sure as shit, that's what Fox did. Pulled in Rudy Giuliani for a guest appearance. Wow. Wow. You know there are some conversations going on behind the scenes with the two judges that walked off that set. You know they're telling Fox right now, don't you ever pull that fucking shit again or we're gone. The tide is turning in this country, and the momentum is on the side of the people who are against the traitors. And the traitors are in turn having meltdowns left and right, trying to remain relevant. A traitor supporter who's having a real-time meltdown, Charlie Kirk. You guys know who Charlie Kirk is? If you don't know who Charlie Kirk is, you got to go look this guy up. He is an absolute tool. He's a slightly older version of Ben Shapiro. And he's having a real-time meltdown and is now ranting that Fauci should be jailed. Huh? You should go look this up on YouTube, guys. It's on tape. He said it on, I think, his show. But, yeah, he's ranting that Fauci should be jailed. He should be thrown in prison. So much for that innocent until proven guilty thing, huh? I mention how I believe Kyle Rittenhouse is guilty and should have been locked up. And I get told, innocent until proven guilty, man. It's fucking America, man. Bruh, what's up, man? Bruh. Now all of a sudden, we should just go fire Fauci. Throw him in jail. And not even for a crime that he's done. Charlie Cook is asking Republican state attorneys, I'm sorry, not state attorneys, attorney generals, to look into whether or not any state crimes have been committed that they could nab him on. So Charlie Kirk is on record as saying, I don't know what crimes he may or may not have committed, but he should be thrown in jail anyway. Now, Charlie Kirk is a major voice in the Republican movement. He's not going to hear my little old podcast, but if in case he happens to hear it, in case somebody in Charlie Kirk's orbit happens to play this for him, listen, asshole. Don't you think if there was anything, and I do mean anything, a Republican attorney general could get him on, they would have done it already? If a Republican attorney general could find a crime that Fauci committed that they could nab him on the state level and throw Fauci in prison, he would instantaneously be rocketed to the top of the list for Republican nominees for president in 2024. There isn't a state AG that wouldn't love to be at the top of the running for the next presidential nominee. There's a reason why Republican state attorney generals have not arrested and locked up Fauci, you dumb motherfucker. Shut the fuck up, you insufferable douche canoe. We're gonna find something, and we're gonna lock them. Once again, the Republicans are in search of a crime to fit the solutions they've made up in their head. Never fails to amaze me. But that's Republicanism in 2022 for you. They are fucking insane. Off the rails. taken as a prime example, their ongoing war on education, which has ramped up significantly in the last several months. You got the stuff going on in Virginia with CRT. You got the stuff going on in Florida where you can't say anything in a classroom to make any white person feel uncomfortable because Republicans need their safe space. Now you have Iowa. Iowa is proposing installing cameras in every classroom so that parents can live stream their kids' classes and monitor what the teachers are teaching. If the teachers are found to be teaching something they ought not to be teaching, first offense, I believe, is a written reprimand. The second offense is a fine equivalent to 1% of that teacher's pay. And a third offense is a fine equivalent to 5% of that teacher's pay. And if a school administrator does not stop the teacher from teaching something they ought not be teaching, according to the parents, I guess, that administrator can be fined up to 5% of their pay. And on top of all of that, if a teacher or administrator refuses to put a camera in the classroom or obstructs that camera or live stream in any way, shape, or form, those fines apply to that teacher and the administrator for non-compliance, which is an interesting term, non-compliance. You guys don't seem to want to comply when it comes to safety measures. But now you want to fine teachers for not complying with having their classrooms broadcast on the World Wide Web. And what about privacy of students and teachers? You cool with having your kids' class broadcast on the internet? And when did parents become educational experts? Don't we have a school board and an education department for a fucking reason so that we don't have every Tom, Dick, and Harry who likes to fucking chew on meth on a Saturday afternoon telling teachers what they should and should not be fucking teaching? And chew on meth is probably the wrong terminology there, but at 27 minutes and 21 seconds into this podcast, I'm not going to go back and restart it just for that one saying. Is that really the route we want to take? We want to start broadcasting teachers' classes live on the internet so that people with absolutely zero fucking clue how to educate a society can go, look, man, he's talking about black people again. That's that CRT. And if that wasn't bad enough, now we have Oklahoma coming up with Senate Bill 1470. Go look this shit up. Oklahoma Senate Bill 1470 would create the Student Religious Belief Protection Act. And that bill basically states that teachers can be fined, can be criminally punished, if they teach anything that goes against a student's deeply held religious beliefs, thus making them uncomfortable. That's not a joke. Go look this up. Oklahoma Senate Bill 1470. Think about this for a moment. First of all, they're saying that teachers, if they teach something that offends or goes against an individual student's deeply held religious beliefs, they could be fined a minimum of 10 grand. So can the school administrator. But think about the shitstorm that could potentially open up. You're a born-again evangelical Christian, a young earth creationist who believes that the earth is 6,000 years old. You're taught in school the reality, which is that the earth is actually several billion years old, and that goes against your deeply held religious beliefs. You can now sue that teacher, and get 10 grand. Think about the dumpster fire that would wind up being. Now, I can't imagine that such a bill would actually withstand a legal challenge. But oh my God, they've now created bills in Virginia, Florida, and they're proposing one in Oklahoma with this bill to not offend white Christians in this country. You can't offend me with your words. That's against the law. Remember how they used to bitch and moan about safe spaces and people being triggered? They are literally passing legislation so that they don't get offended by your words. What if you're a Jew and you're talking about Christianity? What if you're a Muslim and you're talking about Christianity? Does the same apply? I wonder in Oklahoma if the same applies. If the teacher would be standing up there at the front of the classroom teaching something that has to do with Christianity and historical significance, and some Jew or Muslim in the class, or better yet, an atheist in the class says, that goes against my religious beliefs. I want 10 grand. Why are the Republicans going after the teachers in all of these different states? Why are they putting classroom cameras up in Iowa or trying to protect the feelings of Christians in Oklahoma? Trying to say that you can't even say the word gay down in Florida? Or tell people in Virginia, hey, there's a hotline if anybody's teaching stuff that you don't believe in, you should call the college. Why are they going after the teachers? Let me tell you why they're going after the teachers. Because they want you to be as uneducated as humanly possible. They want you to be as dumb as humanly possible because they don't want you to exercise critical thinking. They want you to believe whatever they tell you to believe. All while they're getting their own kids the best education they possibly can. I just talked about this on TikTok this week. Somebody told me that colleges were filled with liberal bullshit. Who told you that, Pumpkin? A Republican elected official? Some Fox News talking head? And I understand that there are some people on the left that say the same thing. Very few, but some. But for the most part, who is it? It's right-wing talking heads and Republican elected officials. Who, by the way, all made sure that they got their education, and they're all making sure their children get those college educations. They're making sure their children are educated so that their children can one day control the levers of power while you and I work the machines like the peons that we are. That is why Republicans are going after teachers as hard as they are. They are trying to control what is being taught in the classroom as to create a society of ignorant fucksticks that will not question authority. Especially if that authority is their authority. What benefit does that have for them? Well, it makes you look the other way when you hear other news stories like the following news story. A Republican candidate for governor in Michigan by the name of Ryan Kelly was meeting with poll workers when he told them that during the 2022 midterm elections, if they see anything that they feel is out of place, they should just unplug the machines. Now, see, if you were educated, you look at that and go, no, that's not right. But if you're not, if you just believe what they tell you to believe, then you would look at that and go, yeah, that sounds perfectly normal, man. Some random-ass poll worker, God only knows what their background is, God only knows what their education level is, God only knows what they know and don't know, can all of a sudden decide to unplug voting machines during one of the biggest midterm elections in my lifetime? I don't fucking think so. But that wasn't the scary part about that meeting. The scary part about that meeting was he was there with a candidate for Michigan State Senator by the name of Mike Detmer. And Mike Detmer told those very same poll workers that they should show up armed. Yeah, you heard that right. He said that we got to start talking about our Second Amendment when it comes to elections. And if these election workers want to know what they can do to help, they should show up armed. They are saying the quiet part out loud, folks, and you need to pay attention. They are telling you what they are willing to do. And what they're willing to do in Michigan, at least to a certain degree, is tell you that they will take this election at gunpoint if need be. Pay attention. Can you imagine a bunch of far right wing Q-tips at polling locations armed to the teeth? That guy doesn't look right. We are digressing as a nation. Literally, we're digressing as a nation. Speaking of digression, let's turn our attention to some Trump news. And I can't believe this fucking guy's still holding rallies. I mean, listen, I can believe it. The grift is long. The grift is strong. But Jesus fucking Christ. He held another rally. Donnie McFuckstick, better known as Der Muskfuhrer, held a rally in Texas during which he said a ton of batshit crazy things, which is par for the course for him. But one of the crazier things that I'd like to discuss very briefly is that he said that if he was reelected in 2024, he would very seriously consider pardons for the January 6th terrorists. Now, let's just briefly go over this. January 6th happened on January 6th. January 7th, Trump gave a Rose Garden address to the nation in which he talked about how the people who were perpetrating the crimes against the Capitol building should be locked up, they should be prosecuted, blah, 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 blah. All the lip service that he knew he had to say. But now that he's talking about pardons, one has to go back and wonder, well, why'd you say that after right afterwards? And if you truly felt like pardoning them, why didn't you do it at some point in time between January 6th and January 20th when your bum ass snuck out of the White House before the real president showed up? Because you're full of shit. Because you're not going to run for office in 2024. You just want to throw out red meat talking points to get the dumb fucks of this country to continue to send you their hard-earned money. Not to mention the fact that by 2024, anybody that would have been criminally prosecuted for their actions on January 6th would have served most, if not all, of their time already. And that real estate agent, remember her, the blonde one from Texas, Jenna whatever? She flew on the private jet to January 6th. She talked about this is our 1776, and she was in the Capitol building. She got arrested. She said, I'm not going to jail. I'm blonde and blue-eyed. And then she stood on the front porch of her house saying how she believed that the president should pardon her and everybody else that was there, and he never did. And then he snuck out of the White House, and then she got convicted. She's going to go away for a little while. Not very long, but a little while. She got to be fucking salty as shit, doesn't she? I mean, she was on national TV talking about, hey, we did this for him, and we should be pardoned for it. And he never fucking lifted a finger. Now he's saying, you know what? 4 years after the fact, I might pardon you if you give me a second chance. What a fucking con man. Once a con man, always a con man. And can you believe that Susan Collins up in Maine actually said this past week that she'd still consider supporting him if he ran in 2024? Huh? Suze, you voted to impeach him. Had the impeachment trial been successful, he would have been removed from office, partially because of your vote. And now you're saying you'd vote for him for president again? Susan Collins needs to be placed in a home, ladies and gentlemen. She done lost her fucking mind. Pardon the terrorists that tried to overthrow our government. No. No. And we need to make sure that that is played daily during the 2022 midterm election. Listen, these are the guys that these people support. This is the guy that these people that we're running against support. He wants to pardon the January 6th terrorists. Make sure that that message gets out there. I doubt that it will because Democrats suck at messaging, but they should make sure that that message gets out there. But none of that is what I want to focus on for the end of this week's podcast episode. This week, I would like to focus on one particular Republican above all others. And he's not even a Trumper. At least in public, he's not. I'd like to talk about Adam Kinzinger from what used to be Illinois' 16th Congressional District. My district. Now, not only do I live in Adam Kinzinger's now former district since we've redrawn the maps horribly, I might add. I've done a podcast episode on how badly the Democrats have gerrymandered this state. But I'd like to discuss how he's pulling the wool over the liberals' eyes. Now, as I said, I live in his district. I also live in his town. It's a very small town of 13,200. There's a lot of people in very small towns out there going, 13,000 ain't small. Around here, it's small. And he's beginning to pull the wool over everybody's eyes. And everyone needs to just proceed with caution when it comes to this man, okay? He's looking the look. He's talking the talk. He's filling the role and playing the part. But you got to look closer. Don't buy Adam Kinzinger's newly proposed, quote-unquote, uneasy alliance with the Democrats. That's what he's proposed. He says that the Democrats should form an uneasy alliance with the remaining Republicans who are anti-Trump to combat Trump's influence and effect moving forward. If you want to combat Trump's influence and effect moving forward, why did you vote with the Trump agenda 94% of the time when he was in office? And don't get me wrong, Adam Kinzinger said something that was actually correct this week when he attacked Senator Josh Hawley, calling him a traitor. I don't think he called him a traitor. I think he insinuated he was a traitor because Josh Hawley wants to block Ukraine from being added to NATO, a Putin talking point. So while Kinzinger is correct in calling out Josh Hawley, he's telling you what you need to hear. Watch the voting record. Watch what he does, not what he says. Watch the fact that he was voting for Trump's agenda for four straight years and didn't become anti-Trump until Trump lost the election. It was at that point in time that Adam Kinzinger looked around and realized, shit, I'm a Republican in a very blue state, and it's not going to behoove me moving forward to be a pro-Trump Republican. So he conveniently became anti-Trump. He conveniently became the young, fresh face of the anti-Trump Republican movement, trying to rebuild the old GOP in a post-Trump era. But with all due respect, Adam Kinzinger is a fucking snake. We here in Adam Kinzinger's town and Adam Kinzinger's district know this firsthand. Watch for Adam Kinzinger to not even remain in Shanahan anymore, for fuck's sake. The guy only moved here so that he could get elected in a Republican district because after the last redistricting, he couldn't get elected where he's from, which is a little bit further south of us. He's from the Kankakee area. But he's just like all of our local Republicans. And yeah, I said all of our local Republicans. We have Republicans, Democrats, and Independents, just like anywhere else in my little hometown of Shanahan, Illinois. And I'm telling you right now, any of the local Republicans in this town are untrustworthy. There's something shady going on with every one of them at some point in time or another. This one's using his own trucks to help himself out in his newly elected position here in the township. This one's using this. This one's taking money from that. They're all untrustworthy. All of them. In my personal opinion. Don't get me wrong. Some of the Democrats here are untrustworthy too. But there isn't a fucking Republican in Shanahan right now that I think I would trust enough to vote for any position. Adam Kinzinger at the top of that list. There is no uneasy alliance. And if you wanted to start helping Democrats moving forward, why are you voting against the voting rights bill? Why are you voting against a measure that would protect everybody's right to vote? Because you, like the rest of the Republicans, read the writing on the wall, and you realize that the more people that vote, the less likely it is that Republicans are going to get elected. You, like most Republicans, don't want as many people voting as humanly possible. The demographics in this country have shifted over the course of the last 50 years. And Republicanism, conservatism, is not the most popular movement in this country anymore. The younger generations, the more educated generations, the generations that are sick and tired of the boomer shit, are not showing up for Republicans. They're showing up for Democrats and progressive candidates. And that's going to be the trend moving forward. Republicans realize this. They realize that they are on the verge of becoming a party that cannot win an election in this country. So they're going after your vote. And Adam Kinzinger is helping them go after their vote while telling you he wants to form this alliance with the Democrats. He wants you to get on the same page to help him defeat the most extreme members of his side of the aisle while simultaneously voting to block your right to vote. While simultaneously voting against measures that would protect your right to vote. And he does so under the facade of being a patriot because he served in the military. Fuck you. You're no patriot. You voted with a traitor 94% of the time, and right now you are voting against protections of the American people's right to vote. Fuck you, and fuck your uneasy alliance. Do not trust Adam Kinzinger, ladies and gentlemen. I am telling you, he is not trustworthy. Oh, it's great. He voted for impeachment just like a couple of his other Republican members did. It means nothing. It means nothing. He knew that was going to go nowhere. He knew that was dead in the water. His vote was symbolic at best. He knew there was no way the Senate was going to convict. He's untrustworthy, he's two-faced, and he will blow in the direction of wherever the political winds happen to be flowing that day. We as liberals, we as Democrats, we as people on the other side of the political aisle need to tread lightly with these wolves in sheep's clothing. Adam Kinzinger, Liz Cheney, the whole fucking lot of them. I focus on Adam Kinzinger because of the local connection. don't trust them. I'm telling you. If you trust them, it's going to bite you in the fucking ass, as it is already. Democrats are like, yeah, man, fucking look at Adam Kinzinger. We're going to get on the side of Adam Kinzinger. While that motherfucker sits there and votes against these voting rights bills. Do not trust this man. Listen to what he has to say. Agree with what he has to say. Disagree with what he has to say. Whatever. But don't trust him. I don't even trust the fact that he's on the January 6th committee. He's a snake in the grass, and Nancy Pelosi needs to watch her back when it comes to this man. I wouldn't vote for him for my township board. And that's no joke. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in some weird times. We got the Republicans going full bore after teachers. We got a civil war going on within the Republican Party. We got Democratic senators voting with Republicans to block protections for your right to vote. We are in weird times. And we can't even get a decent Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class out of it. 2022 is just fucking up fast and picking up steam. And I don't know which way it's going to go. Honestly, I have no fucking clue which way this is going to go. All I know is that it's given me 2016 vibes a month in. It's given me those, ooh, this is going to be a fucked up year vibes. And I think it's going to be a fucked up year. I think that we're going to feel a lot of economic pain. I think we're going to see a lot of political upheaval. I think the 2022 midterms are going to be an absolute shit show. And I think we're going to go into 2023 even more dazed and confused than we came into 2022 with. On a side note, if I could, please. I know that a lot of you folks find me as a result of TikTok. I still can't believe that we're knocking on the door of a million followers on TikTok because I'm just some fucking schmuck giving his opinions from his home office in the Chicago suburbs. But the fact that a lot of you guys find me on TikTok means that a lot of you guys see the funnier things that I do on TikTok as well. And I'm here to tell you that if you send me ranch, I'm not keeping it. You're literally wasting your money. I got another gallon of ranch sent to me this past week. I'm not keeping this shit, guys. I don't eat it. I can only keep so much ranch in the house. So you're just wasting your money. You literally would get more out of your money if you lit it on fire and used it to keep yourself warm. So don't send me ranch. Just send me money. I need a million people to send me $1. And we're all good. Okay? All right. That's all I got for you guys this week. I am going to give you my Super Bowl predictions next week, and hopefully, knock on wood, we won't have as crazy of a news week. So, until then, as always, stay grateful.